I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, the UK Bills podcast, Bills News with the UK twist. Robin and Matt here, and we're joined by one half of the tag team called Shout Podcast, Ryan Talbert. Ryan, how you doing, my man? How you doing?
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, it's been a while, but always enjoy having you, talking to you, and obviously Matt Perino as well. So always gives us great insight and my go-to for Bills news. So hopefully we might be able to break some breaking news on the interview, maybe. Who knows?
Hey, never know. You never know. This is such a busy week, even before the hoopla of free agency. There's always trades, there's always surprise moves, cuts. So you just never know, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, what's your, obviously, we've got two big news that's happened. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and what was it, Russell Wilson. Obviously, with the Russell Wilson, does that change the dynamic and shift in the AFC now? Because you've got all these quarterbacks coming in now. Obviously, Herbert, Derek Carr on his day, Wilson, Mahomes, Allen, etc.
Yeah, you know, it changes the dynamic to a certain extent, but I also think it helps the Bills in an odd way. I think that the NFC West is going to beat up on each other, simply put, and they're going to each, you know, put a few losses on one another. We've seen, I don't want to say Derek Carr is the weak link of the AFC West quarterbacks, but essentially he is. We've seen him, though, play out of his mind and go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and beat him. We've seen him go head-to-head with Justin Herbert with the playoffs on the line and do enough to beat the Chargers. So he's still a capable player. That offense there under Josh McDaniels, I think, you know, they're in win-now mode, too. They're not going to just kind of sit there on their hands. They're going to be active in doing what they can to improve that team. You have Kansas City that's still the king of the division. They're going to be competitive. You know, they're starting to get a little bit older in certain spots. Obviously, with Travis Kelce, he's going to eventually hit a wall there, in my opinion. But Mahomes is still playing at a high level more times than not. Hill is still an absolute weapon. They could lose Byron Pringle in free agency and some of those other weapons. But they really went out and replenished the offensive line. Love Justin Herbert. Love that Chargers offense. They're going to be in the mix. Then you throw Russell Wilson in Denver with those wide receivers. I've been a big fan of Jerry Jeudy and just waiting for him to have the right opportunity, the right quarterback. Cortland Sutton, when he's healthy, is a very talented player. So I just really think that those guys can beat up on each other. But, yeah, I mean, the AFC is absolutely loaded. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, some other guys that you know, are in that conference as well, along with Josh Allen, obviously, all the quarterbacks of the AFC West now. And then with Aaron Rodgers, you know, good for Aaron Rodgers. I know that he's not the most likable guy, but Packers go out and they draft a quarterback in the first round a few years ago when Rodgers was clamoring for help at wide receiver, and you know, they have some very talented players there already. So I also get Green Bay's point of view, but now you've kind of wasted that first round pick because you've essentially said, well, Jordan Love's nowhere near ready. We're going to pay you $50 million after back-to-back MVP seasons. And now maybe Jordan Love gets traded, but you're not going to get that first round pick back. I don't think there's that any kind of value there. You might get a day two pick if you're lucky. But had you picked a wide receiver or an offensive lineman, someone that could have helped then and now, maybe Green Bay has another Super Bowl in their trophy case. But, you know, Rodgers, if you want me, you got to pay me. And to their credit, they paid up, and now they have Rodgers for I'm assuming, the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian, can I just on that crazy, I mean, it's not completely official, is it, that he's signed the $50 million, but it's going to be in that region, isn't it? And one of my first thoughts was, geez, that 40 or so million a year for Josh Allen doesn't look that bad now, does it? And a couple of years from now, I think it's going to look even better, because at some point Burrow's going to have to get paid and Herbert's going to have to get paid. So suddenly 40 million or so for Josh looks like a bit of a bargain.
Yeah, it's a great question, great comment. It's already going to be a bargain. I read something after the Super Bowl that Matthew Stafford's going to want a new contract. And listen, Stafford led the Rams to, or helped the Rams win a Super Bowl. I can't say that he led them to it. They had a really good defense.
He was there.
Yeah, he was there. But you're probably going to pay him in the ballpark of what Josh Allen is making, maybe a little bit more than that. You have Lamar Jackson, who's kind of hanging around waiting for this deal. I don't think he's in the same stratosphere as Josh Allen right now because of his passing ability. He's still inconsistent as a passer, in my opinion. He has his games where he's great. Yep. He can keep plays alive. He's dangerous with his legs. I still think he's an outstanding player, but he'll probably end up getting more than Josh Allen. And you look around this league, like you said, once Rodgers officially signs that deal, that makes Allen's deal look better. You're going to have Joe Burrow signing a new deal sooner rather than later. And it goes, you know, across the league, there's going to be all these guys that's the new asking price. And maybe it's going to be more than that soon because that salary cap is going to keep jumping up. It's 2.8 this year. I think it's going to be 2.30 sooner rather than later with that new TV deal. So maybe not next year. Maybe you don't make that big of a jump, but I think within 2 years, 230 is in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I mean, going on to the Bills, obviously, the whole new setup with the coordinators, with Ken Dorsey now getting promoted, Joe Brady coming in, and even Aaron Cromer on the O-line. Will we see, in your opinion, a tweak from the system that Dable runs, and obviously with the blocking scheme and what Aaron Cromer did on previous spell in Buffalo? Do you think we see that come back and they mix and mash it up a little bit?
Yeah, I think if anything, you do need to have a little bit of a tweak here and there. You can't expect Ken Dorsey to come in and just run the Brian Dable offense. Now, listen, he worked with him for a few years. I think a lot of that offense is going to stay, especially the plays that Josh Allen really does well. But Ken Dorsey needs to make this his own offense. He needs to throw in things that he's comfortable with, things that maybe, and I know he was an offensive coordinator in Carolina, but he worked with Cam Newton closely. What were some of the things that worked really well with Newton? Because Allen can run really well. Allen's a more accurate passer. You can incorporate some of that. And the beauty of this new setup is you have two guys under the new offensive coordinator here in Ken Dorsey, who have called offensive plays before. Aaron Cromer was an interim head coach. You have Joe Brady, who was an offensive coordinator this year in Carolina for a portion of the season. He was obviously at LSU, had a role in that offense as well. So it's nice. They're going to be able to kind of work together cohesively. Aaron Cromer, you know, no knock on Bobby Johnson. I think that's an upgrade at the offensive line coach. I think that he's going to want to bring in one or two of the guys that maybe that have been in his system before that can help the current players on this roster. But he's inheriting some talented players already, especially at the two most important positions, left tackle, right tackle. You have Deion Dawkins, you have Spencer Brown. Mitch Morris, I would make the case for extending Mitch Morris to lower his cap hit this year. To free up some more money. I thought that he had a really nice season, if you think he can fit into that. And then even the guard spots, I don't know what they're going to do with Darrell Williams. He's a guy that you could cut, save some money, maybe sign an older Roger Saffold, who was just released today by Tennessee. But he has that experience with Cromer, so maybe you're going to save some money, get some experience, get someone that's played in his system before. Maybe that offsets. And then I think they really do love Ryan Bates and the versatility that he brings. So, you know, whatever they do, they already have five guys on this roster, in my opinion, and I'm counting Bates as one of those players because he's a restricted free agent. I don't anticipate him going anywhere else. They already have some talented players there. Now it's just about adding some depth, adding some other competition. So Cromer's all set. Joe Brady, the verdict's out on him a little bit, in my opinion, but I think a step back and being a quarterback coach for a year can really do wonders for him, because if Josh Allen plays anywhere near the level that he plays, all of a sudden Brady's a hot commodity again, and it's, hey, we got to interview this guy for an offensive coordinator job. It's insane how it ebbs and flows in this league. He had a great year at LSU with obviously Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and all these guys that are playing on Sundays now, and he was getting head coaching interviews before he eventually got the offensive coordinator job. So you're hot and then you're not. And if Josh Allen plays the way that I know he's capable of playing, that we all know he's capable of playing, all of a sudden Brady might just be a 1 year, 2 year stint here, and then he's gone as an offensive coordinator once again.
Yeah.
Josh Allen so good. He's made Mitch Trubisky look good as a backup. He's probably fielding calls at the moment as a starter just by being in the same room as him. Colts, I heard, possibly.
Yeah, possible I think move. The Colts make sense. You know, the big rumor that I've been reading for a few weeks is the Saints are going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, but if that doesn't come to fruition, Saints should be in on this guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that you can point to and say, okay, I know the Giants are obviously connected to an open competition with Daniel Jones, but is that what Trubisky wants? Does he want an open competition, or does he want a starting job? Because if I'm him, I'm taking the starting job over the open competition if the money's similar, just because I think this draft class isn't that great at quarterback. And there's not necessarily going to be that player that, okay, I'm going to lose my job midseason. He's going to get a true opportunity this year. Maybe it's Pittsburgh. Who knows what they're going to do? I don't think Mason Rudolph is competition. They obviously could be in play for a quarterback early in this year's draft, but there's some talent there at wide receiver. Trubisky, you know, between getting to play behind Josh Allen, having all this shakeout with Aaron Rodgers staying Green Bay, Russell Wilson getting traded, he's going to be one of the hot names in free agency, and he's going to cash in. He's going to get a lot of money. Now, obviously, no one near the same stratosphere of these quarterbacks that we were talking about previously, but 20-some million per year on average, I think it's going to happen. And all because he's sat 1 year behind, sat 1 year behind Josh Allen. And in a way, doing that and then having Matt Nagy just absolutely the Bears look completely awful once again. All of a sudden, people are like, man, Trubisky led him to the playoffs a few years. Man, Matt Nagy stood him up for an end-of-the-season meeting when he wanted to talk about how they could make the offense better. Trubisky came out smelling like a rose. Nagy ended up getting a job in Kansas City. But really, Trubisky won out big time there for all those factors, and he's going to end up getting paid big time.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see. I mean, hopefully, then that gives us an extra compensationary pick if we don't sign too many of our own guys, or obviously the big numbers. I mean, we've got, I don't know how many we've got. We've got, what, about 20 odds, or no, a little less than that, free agents to try and sign ourselves. Obviously, they've made some cap moves recently with Klein gone, Feliciano gone, and all that. I think, about 2 million. Under the cap now?
Yeah, just about at that point right now. So, I mean, there's still a lot of moves to be made. And that doesn't just mean pure cuts. That doesn't mean just trades. Like I said, you could extend Mitch Morse and you can lower his cap hit. You can restructure the Josh Allen deal already. You could extend Stephon Diggs, but Brandon Bean has said talks have not started there yet. So I'm not anticipating that as one of the moves. You can kick the can, so to speak, a little bit with Deion Dawkins' contract, with Tre'Davious White's contract. And listen, if you feel confident that those players are going to play out the entire string of their deals, which there's no reason to believe that they won't, this doesn't hurt. You can open up some money in doing that. What happens and what hurts teams is if they don't play out the string of that contract, and then you're kind of left at the end of it with some undesirable cap situation. So Brandon Bean has always had this team pretty financially healthy after tearing it down after year one. I'm anticipating, you know, maybe they can make one splash move, whether that's via trade or whether it's free agency. But you're not going to see them throwing money around just because he has to think long term. He knows that the cap's going to be going up year in, year out. But at the same time, this upcoming season, there's just not a lot of room currently. He could open up 25, 30 million if he wants to with certain moves, cuts, restructures, et cetera. But how much of that does he want to do this year? That's what we're going to find out.
Yeah. I mean, do you envision him to be a guy that's going to wait till that second, third week, that second string of free agency to actually make a move on there? Because, I mean, one guy, especially on guard, that I'd like to see him pick up, whether he gets there or not, is the Rams guard, Austin Corbett. I think he obviously worked under Roma. Do you think they'll be like that, or do you think they'll go for someone that can just come in and maybe build that spot, depending obviously what they do on with Darrell Williams?
Well, you know, if they want to hold on to Darrell Williams' contract and wait and see if they can get a Austin Corbett or someone along those lines, then you could cut Williams, and then that money, that $6 million that you'd be saving there, could be put toward that next contract. So that might be the smart play there. He said at the end of the season, that being Brandon Bean, protecting Josh Allen is our number one priority. So if you're going to make a splash, or if you're going to go after someone early, I wouldn't be shocked if it was an interior lineman, whether that's just someone that knows the system that you feel confident in, whether it's a big name. But the other side of that coin is one thing that Brandon Bean has done year in, year out, is he signed a ton of bodies on the offensive line. And some end up panning out being starters. Yet when they signed Feliciano, he was an under-the-radar type player, and he ended up getting a lot of playing time here, getting another contract out of it before he was released last night. But he's done a mix of those two things, where he's gone out and he's signed guys like Williams. And Williams, when he was signed, it was to be a tackle, obviously, but things have changed. Plans changed with the draft, obviously, this past year, finding some talent there. So I think it's going to be a mix on the line. I think maybe there's going to be one player that signed for that intermediate range of money, but then he's also going to bring in some depth and some bodies that maybe Cromer can develop. And there's going to be a guy in the draft too, I'm sure, that they bring in as well.
Yeah. Ryan, I completely agree with the analysis that you've made. I don't see them. I think we all don't see Brandon Bean being the sort of person to bring, you know, make absolutely, you know, open the suitcase and throw the money and maybe make a single splash. But I saw you'd actually written about a player, and I apologize if he's listening, because I'm going to mangle it, the pronunciation of his name, and I'm going to give it my best shot. Ushen Nwosu.
That was actually pretty good.
That was not bad.
That was pretty good. No, that was pretty good.
Before the call. As a pass rusher, and you know, it's been going on for a couple of years. How is the pass rush? They've invested in it. We've got Russo, we've got Basham. I've got a good feeling about those guys for year two. I think they're going to take a step forward. But what did you like about that player? Because I saw you'd written about him. You said that the Bills had made him at the Senior Bowl in the sort of 12-ish million kind of thing. That seems like it's a splash, but not a huge wave.
Yeah. You know, it's a huge splash for the player, because the production doesn't match that amount of money, in my opinion, at this point. Now, the Bills met with him at the Combine. They met with him with the Senior Bowl. Back in 2018, when they had top 30 official visits, he was one of the top 30 players that they brought in. So, you know, that's the beauty of it. Brandon Bean has these folders on players that he's met with, that he's done due diligence on, that now he can start to pull out when they become free agents and look back and be like, okay, here's what we thought about him at draft time. Here's the tape of their career to date. Is this someone we want to pursue? And Nwosu is interesting because he had his most productive season to date in 2021. He had 40 quarterback pressures. I want to say something like, I can't remember how many quarterback hits, but 5 sacks. So it's nothing, you know, the sacks don't jump off the page. The quarterback pressures kind of do at 40, in my opinion. But he's been buried behind talented pass rushers with the Chargers. There's obviously Bosa there. You've had Ingram there before he was moved in the last year or two. So there are some guys just that were in front of him on that team where he didn't get the opportunities, he didn't get the starts. This year he got the starting experience. He had 15 starts, and it panned out for him in terms of his most productive season to date. The Bills would be rolling the dice on a player like that, saying, okay, the best is yet to come if we pay him even $10 million per year, because you're banking on him improving his game year after year. The fact that they've done that due diligence, that they've met with him in the past, maybe they are comfortable with that. I would almost think that you would be better off using that money on a more proven entity if you're going to go in that $10 to $12 million range. And listen, Chandler Jones, I get that most of it, a lot of his production came in one game last year. So there's risk involved there too. But I would almost take that veteran that you know is going to be there in the short term, one or two seasons, so that way 2 years from now, even in 2023, Russo is going to get the majority of the reps, and maybe it's going to be Basham on the other side, or maybe it's Epinesa. I would rather have someone in the short term that you feel good about for 1 or 2 years than an Nwosu if you're going to pay him about the same amount of money, where you're not sure if he's going to take that next step to 7.5, 8, 9 sacks in 2022. Now, that being said, there was a lot of promise this year, and I could see why the Bills would be interested. And one last thing, SpotTrack, love the website. The market values, though, sometimes they're on the money, sometimes they're far off base. And he's even admitted that, you know, it's kind of a formula that they use in terms of probably playing time, production, this, that, or the other. And then when they punch in all that information, that's the cap number that comes out. So he acknowledges that it's not a perfect system. Nwusu might end up sitting on the market for a week or two and signing for $8 million average. Or year one, it might be a really low cap, and then the caps get higher in year two, year three, et cetera. So not a perfect system, but yeah, that was definitely one of those market values that when you click on it the first time, your eyes kind of bulge a little bit because it doesn't match the production to date.
Well, we're welcoming Mark finally to the show. Better late than never.
That's right.
Don't add anything, Mark, to free agency. Go on.
Oh, well, it was, I mean, a lot of what you were talking about, the defensive line, I think you were picking up there with Greg Rousseau. It was, you know, a lot about your thoughts on, I guess, whether you think those guys have worked out as acquisitions that we've brought in, and whether you thought we needed to add anything else into that position. It was, is it something that defensive line, is it something that we need to forget for a bit?
No, it's still something they need to invest in. And when it comes to defensive end or edge rusher, I would prefer it being a free agent at this point, because the Bills are on the cusp of a Super Bowl. And as much as it would be great to draft these players, develop them, and get the most out of them, it takes some time. It takes 3-4 years sometimes for the light to click, so to speak. It takes having some talented players in front of you to learn from them. And you know, Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, both veterans that I know really worked with those younger players, put them under the learning tree. But you have to upgrade from that at this point in time, in my opinion. I think Jerry Hughes, he can still get those pressures. He's still someone that they like in the locker room. I'm just not sure he's back. Mario Addison said something really interesting on an Instagram Live, but I'm not sure Buffalo is going to let me go. Well, if they're going to bring him back, the money needs to be right. It needs to be pretty low down there. He's still been a productive pass rusher compared to the rest of the Bills players. But across the league, they can do better than that, and they need to. If they can get one guy in free agency that can be that difference maker off the edge and work with those young guys, that could be that missing piece of the puzzle where they can get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl this year. As much as you saw play, you know, in that Chiefs game against the Bengals, were playing three up front, dropping eight. But you still had a really good pass rusher in Hendrickson that was able to get some pressure and get after the quarterback. The Bills just don't have that guy right now. So maybe it is Chandler Jones. Maybe Nwusu, if they end up loving him. They've got to address that, in my opinion, in free agency. And maybe it's not that first tier or wave of player. But there's other guys that I think are upgrades over what the Bills have had from that veteran perspective. You know, there was even another pre-draft visitor, Dorrance Armstrong, if they want to roll the dice on a guy. He was in Dallas, 5 sacks this year. I think he could be had maybe at a manageable deal. He's not someone that I'm advocating for them going out to sign that it's going to be an immediate impact player. But there's guys in that second and third wave that I think can be in that mid-20 range age-wise that maybe the best is yet to come. But I'm advocating for someone that has more long-term success and has shown that they can get after the quarterback. Defensive tackle, same thing. I'm not sure that the value that's out there on Harrison Phillips matches up what the Bills need. He had a very good 2021 season. I was happy for the guy. He's embraced Buffalo. He's embraced the community. But he's also had some injuries over the years in Buffalo. And I saw one projection that had him making $8 million per season on average, and I just can't do it. I don't see him matching up to that production. If you're going to spend a decent amount of money in free agency, Calais Campbell, even though he's 35 years old, he's still someone that is productive at his age, someone that is an impact player, someone that really spoke highly of Greg Rousseau in terms of someone I think that he would like to mentor, who has that inside-outside versatility. They've got to do something on that line still. So even though they've invested a lot in the draft of that position, at defensive end, that is, edge rusher, they still need to add someone there. They still need to add someone at defensive tackle because, you know, Star Latulea is still under contract for a few years. But injuries have taken a toll. He was obviously out with COVID this past season. He missed an entire season by opting out. They just need to reinforce that line because I truly think that the – secondary is still one of their strongest assets, even though Trey White's coming off of a season-ending injury, even though we don't know what cornerback two looks like right now. Taron Johnson, one of the best in the game. They still have one of the best safety duos in the game. They bring back Saran Neal that I think they're going to mix and match and use in certain packages. And then, obviously, Matt Milano was given a lot of money, and he's a key part of this defense. And Tremaine Edmonds, you know, I don't know what the long-term future is there, if the Bills want to invest a ton of money in both linebackers. But he's still going to be a big piece to this defense this season unless some major surprise move comes out. I've seen some crazy reports out there, but nothing that's anything that I would take as credible at this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, you're going on about the staying for the second wave, especially for like pass rush. If you do that, do you consider going for like potentially a tier one or maybe borderline tier one cornerback, depending on what they do with Levi Wallace? I mean, it's a pipe dream for me, really, but obviously JC Jackson, if they could somehow work him, have that as your secondary, and then you can get that second or third wave defensive end and have that still have a productive pass rush, knowing that you've got two guys on the edge in White and Jackson to really lock it down and give that defensive line more time to put pressure on.
You know, call it a gut feeling, whatever. I think that J.C. Jackson would love to play in Buffalo, but the problem is the cap space, the amount of money that the Bills have. You can't want to play for the Bills and stick it to Bill Belichick and the Patriots two times a year, but also want Jalen Ramsey money. It just doesn't work that way. Because the Bills aren't set up that way. So I truly do believe that he would be interested in joining the Bills if they had the right amount of money to make it work. Now, stranger things have happened. Maybe he sits on the market for a week or two because no one wants to give him that Jalen Ramsey money. And maybe he says, you know what, I'm going to bet on myself, and he's going to sign a one-year deal, and he's going to take a little bit of a discount. Maybe then Brandon Bean's ears perk up a little bit, and he says, you know, if it's a one-year deal, we can move some money around and make that work. But long-term, I don't think I'm not going to say it wouldn't sit well with the Bills, because I think the Bills players realize that sometimes, you know, you're missing a piece here, but can you really go out and spend more money on a J.C. Jackson than what you've already spent on a Tre'Davious White? White has proven longer, at least in my opinion, a track record of being a shutdown corner. Jackson's been very good the last few years, do not get me wrong. But I just don't think it works out from a financial standpoint. If the Bills had the cap space, then yes, I think that would have been a match made in heaven.
If only. Do you, Ryan, I've heard rumors of a few like marquee defensive players that have been actively pursuing the Bills in terms of like hoping to come and join them in free agency. Any idea on who those figures may be?
Yes and no. You know, there's one where I think it's more of a pipe dream where he said, I like this team. I think this team's a Super Bowl contender. The financials just don't work out. The other one's a gut feeling, and I wouldn't be shocked if it was Chandler Jones. He has ties to the area. He's getting up there in age. He wants to maybe, again, he's another guy that might want to stick to Bill Belichick. He's a former Patriot. You might want to come into the division. He might have seen Josh Allen been like, man, this guy can play. This guy can put up points. If I can be that missing piece on defense that can get after the opposing quarterback, there's no reason to think this team can't win at all. So I wouldn't be shocked if it was someone like that. If it was someone like an Emmanuel Ogbah, I think Ogbah, though, is still young enough where he's going to get some decent money out there in free agency. He's had two really good years back-to-back in Miami, but he's been in Miami. So he has seen firsthand Josh Allen early and often, you know, a few times per year. He knows how dangerous he is. I just think that there's some players that are out there that are saying, I can be that missing piece. Can we work it out financially? And that's the challenge this year. Because as great as it is to have a quarterback like Josh Allen and have players wanting to pursue the Bills, a lot of these players aren't going to join the team for peanuts. You still got to pay them a decent amount of money.
Mm. I mean, Robin, you've got one name that you want to
talk about.
Go on the other side.
We made some predictions a few weeks ago on the show, and clearly Joe Marino from Locked On Bills was listening because he recommended him on his latest recommendation. So let me ask Ryan, what you think of as JD McKissick, formerly of Washington, off on IR with a neck injury, but possible pass-catching running back, complement Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I actually like that a lot. Listen, I don't think the Bills are going out there looking to draft or sign a true number one running back. You know, you've heard the trade rumors about Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley.
also discussed on this podcast.
I don't want to say something foolish, and then all of a sudden, like, tonight at 9 o'clock, there's a trade for Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey, and I make some statement about how the Bills would never do that. I don't anticipate them doing that. I think it's more realistic for them to go and get a third down pass catching option like a JD McKissick. I could see them rolling the dice on a Rashard Penny. Someone that when the Bills pre-draft visitor, they met with him leading up to the draft. Injuries, though, the first two or three years of his career, sat behind Chris Carson, wasn't productive. This year, though, career highs in carries, career highs in yards, touchdowns, average over 6 yards per clip, showed what he can do in a system. So I think it's going to be more of a compliment, more of a mix. But, yeah, JD McKissick is a name to watch there. He's not the only player in Washington I could see the Bills signing. Kyle Allen, I know that's not going to make, you know, fans jump out of their seats. He's not being tendered by the Commanders after they just traded for Carson Wentz, but he works out with Josh Allen in the offseason. He's been someone that's worked out with Palmer from day one. And at the end of the day, listen, there's no backup quarterback in this league. Even when the Bills had Trubisky, that if Josh Allen goes down for a significant amount of time, that's going to come in here and lead the Bills to the Super Bowl. I just feel like backup quarterback is a little bit overrated from that perspective. You want someone that can come in and win you maybe two games if Josh Allen's out for four. And maybe that's a Ryan Fitzpatrick. Maybe it is a Kyle Allen, someone that has that starting experience and has flashed at times. But, you know, that the Bills have to find someone that they feel okay about in a short term. But there's no quarterback in this universe that you're going to get at a backup contract salary that's going to come in here and win you a Super Bowl if your starting quarterback goes down. Look across the league. I mean, Mahomes the last few years, it's been Chad Henne. And Henne, to his credit, helped the Chiefs advance a few years ago against the Browns with a few plays here and there. But if Mahomes goes down for an entire year, half a year, there's no way they stay afloat. So the Bills have to be smart about it. Find the right pieces at backup quarterback. Find that third down running back like a JD McKissick would be, like a Penny would be, someone that could complement Singletary without breaking the bank. Because at this point in time in today's NFL, running backs, for better or worse, are a dime a dozen. You can draft a guy that can come in. You can find those diamonds in the rough late in the draft, undrafted free agents. You just don't want to overspend. And that's why I keep going back to that. I just don't see the move for a Barkley or a McCaffrey as much as I think some Bills fans would absolutely love that.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, obviously, we know when it's come out that Cole Beasley's had, obviously, they've given him permission to seek a trade and all that. Obviously, we've seen the photos on Instagram of Christian Kirk. Maybe that could be a under-the-radar one. And also, backup quarterback, I was actually thinking, do they kick the tires on a Tyrod Taylor? They know what he's done. We know that we can actually, he has a similar sort of skill. He's more mobile. He's mobile like Josh Allen. Had a decent touch on him. Do you think they could kick a tire with him as well?
He is someone that I think from the Bills' perspective they would be interested in. Would he be willing to come back to Buffalo and be a backup? I think at this point in his career, he knows that he's not a long-term starter per se. He's had enough opportunities now where he's lost the job. He hasn't been able to have that sustained success that he had early in his time in Buffalo with Rex Ryan at head coach. But there's also something about going back to a team that you were already once on and you were the guy for a few seasons at least. If he's willing to sacrifice, you know, to come in and I'm a backup, there's obviously no competing with Josh Allen. This is an MVP candidate year in, year out. Yeah, if he's willing to do that, absolutely he's someone that should be on Buffalo's radar.
Can I ask a Cole Beasley question? I suppose it's a. Do we think he stays for another year? I suppose part one and one B. If he goes, where might he end up? I'm going to make a prediction. And they're always wrong, but I make one anyway. I'm going Jaguars if he goes there. Trevor Lawrence, year two, needs a guy to, you know, he can count on the old safety blanket, whatever they call it. Yeah. What do you think?
So, one, do I think he's back? No, I don't. I know Brandon Bean said that they're leaving the door open for him to possibly return in 2022, despite him, you know, requesting a trade. First and foremost, I don't see a trade panning out. At this point in time, I think every team in the league knows that sooner rather than later, the Bills need to free up some cap space, and you can free up $6 million by trading or cutting Beasley. And I think it's more realistic that he's going to be released and or cut, however you want to phrase that. And then, you know, in terms of potential suitors, obviously there's the link to the Giants. You want to see what Daniel Jones has this year, or if it's Trubisky, you want to give him weapons. They have some guys there already in New York. They drafted Tony. You know, they still might like Slayton. There's some people there, but I think that he's an option for the Giants in terms of linking back up with Brian Daboll. He talked highly about Daboll and how excited he was when they didn't lose him after the AFC Championship appearance season. I think a lot of the Bills players thought that he was going to go to the Chargers. So that's a link. I love Jacksonville as a potential target. If he's willing to realize that a Super Bowl is probably not going to happen at that point if he goes there, but he can help improve that team quickly. Trevor Lawrence, though, needs that safety valve. He needs that guy that he can target. You could make the same argument for the Bears with Justin Fields. You can make that for a lot of teams. You know, one team that I kind of liked was even the Browns. I think that the Browns are sitting here saying, you know, we had a disastrous 2021 season. You know, Baker Mayfield's shoulder was part of that problem, but we didn't come close to living up to expectations. And this upcoming season's a big year, and I think that Jarvis Landry is not going to be a part of that equation. I think he's going to be let go. So you can swap out Landry for Beasley. And in Cleveland, the offensive line coach, Callahan, was actually Beasley's offensive coordinator for, I think, two seasons in Dallas. So there's some ties there, but I think he's as good as gone. I think that, you know, Brandon Bean's saying, oh, yeah, he could come back because we're not taking anything off the table. But that's just more so GM speak for, listen, we're hoping we can find a trade partner for him. Even if it's a late day three pick, we would kind of take that at this point in time.
Do you think that if he was to go, are you comfortable with the wide receiver room short of Cole Beasley with the talents there at the minute? Or do you think that that's an area where the Bills will be looking to add anybody either in the draft or free agency?
No, it's definitely an area they'd have to address, because as much as I like having Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox, you still have to go out and add to that. And in the draft, you know, Jameson Williams has been a very popular mock draft choice for the Bills late in round one. I would roll the dice on him before he had that injury in the championship game. Yep. He was someone that was projected as a top 10, top 15 pick, blazing 4.3 speed. And in today's NFL, you can come back from those injuries and still play at a very high level. I mean, we've seen players come back the same season now. We saw Cam Akers come back from what was supposed to be a season-ending injury in the summer and come back and play in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So there's the turnaround time now with these injuries. There's the comfort level and the players still having explosiveness. So I wouldn't mind that. Kelvin Austin, the third in the draft, is a player that I was hoping Bills might be able to target in round three. But in addition to the Bills showing interest in him in the at the Senior Bowl, he just absolutely shredded the combine and had one of the best combines for wide receiver position. So that might be a round two pick now. But you could even go into free agency. I think Isaiah McKenzie is a player that you might want to re-sign if Cole Beasley's out the door. Even if, you know, if you can convince him that $5 million per year or $4.5 million per year, it's a significant pay bump from what he's been at. You know that he's really good against man defenses. Is it going to be good enough against zone? That's, you know, they would know better than anyone based on what they've seen at practice. But he's also a valuable piece there. I do wonder, though, and this is just me. There's nothing for me to believe that maybe he wouldn't come back. But I wonder if there's any ill will there between himself and Sean McDermott. Not so much for the wide receiver stuff, but for the kick return. Because at one point in time, McDermott literally came out to the media and said, you know, simply put, we don't trust him. But you're paying him to be a receiver in this scenario. So maybe it doesn't matter. He loves Josh Allen. He's really embraced Buffalo. He's embraced a lot of those teammates. He's loved in the locker room. So maybe he does come back, but that's always in the back of my mind as well. He was very close with Brian Daboll. So maybe if Beasley doesn't land there, that's an ideal landing spot for McKenzie too. But no, they definitely have to address it, and they need to find someone that they're comfortable with. You know, what's a Braxton Berrios going to make in free agency? Because he had some really nice games with the Jets, and he has that return experience. They need to keep replenishing that position, or you don't want to lose your fastball, is what we've heard Sean McDermott say, and I think Brandon Bean even say a few times. That's very important to this offense, is having pass catchers. So if Beasley's out the door, you definitely need to replace that some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, before we quickly talk about the draft, obviously what I want to know is there any insight into what they potentially do with Obada and also Christian Wade? Because obviously he tweeted yesterday saying it's good to be back, and Spotrac have actually listed him now on the list as a new one-year contract. I don't know if there's any light you can shed on any of that, if at all.
I think he was just under contract, so I think he might have been referring to just being back on Twitter. I'm not 100% sure on that. I don't think he had tweeted it some time, so... But I think he's been under contract. And listen, when the Bills first brought him in, this was just a raw player that knew rugby and only rugby. And I think that he would have had a legit opportunity this season to make the roster if it hadn't been for that shoulder injury. This year, there's a path for him to be a running back, number three option, to be in the mix on special teams. But he's also getting up there in age. So I think that this is it for him in terms of panning out in Buffalo this season in whatever role that may be. But he has that explosive speed. He's shown that. He's learned over the last few seasons the ins and outs of playing in the NFL and playing football. So I don't have any questions about that anymore. So I like that for him too. And then when it comes to who's the other player you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Obada.
He could come back. He is someone that still obviously has ties to the defensive line coach, Eric Washington. He's someone that has that inside-outside versatility. I thought that he shined a few games this past season. And I know that he's 28, 29 now?
Yeah.
Despite the age, there's not a lot of tread taken off the tires, so to speak, because he didn't start playing football until late in his life. So I think that he's still relatively fresh for his age. So I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever if he was back in the fold for another season.
Yeah. So going on to draft, make it quick. What positions do you think they really are going to target? And do you think they're set in a way at where they're going to go, like especially in the first three picks? Because we've seen loads of people mock Jordan Davis to us, Devontae Wyatt, obviously Williams, McCreary, name it. We pretty much think of everyone on there. What way do you think they'll go? And is there anyone, no matter what round it is, that you've got a draft crush on?
Yeah, that's great questions. Well, Jordan Davis and Wyatt, I think they both were in play to be available in the 20s. And maybe one or both still is there, because there's still questions about Davis. Is he a three-down player? And in today's NFL, when you draft in the first round, you want someone that's going to be out there for all three downs on defense. But the way that they tested, in addition to how productive they were in their careers, I think that both could be off the board there. So that might take them away from the defensive line, because I did think that in interior players on the defensive line was in play for round one. There are some players in round two. Travis Jones comes to mind out of UConn. There's an Alabama defensive tackle that comes to mind in round two. I'm blanking on his name right now, but so it might end up being that. I still think that defensive line's in play. I'm not sure it's in play anymore in round one necessarily. I think wide receiver makes a lot of sense depending on who falls to them. I think that obviously cornerback is a big area of need for this team, a sneaky area of need for this team, because if Levi Wallace goes, how much confidence do you have in Dane Jackson? How much confidence do you have in Trey White being 100% in September? So you either have to address that in free agency with the veteran that you have confidence in, or you need to address it early with someone that you think is going to fit the system. And you mentioned McCreary, you know, at the quarterback position, he might be that cornerback crush, someone that I think fits the system really well, someone that's played against the best of the best in the SEC. And he tested well enough. You know, he doesn't have blazing speed. I think he was a 4.5 on the dot, which, you know, we say 4.5 is not blazing speed, but I couldn't run for a 4.5 40 if you gave me the first 25 yards. It's funny when we say that like that, but I think he's shown he can keep up with those guys that have the extra gear. He's just shown that time and time again on film. But cornerback, wide receiver, they're both in play in round one. If the right offensive lineman interior player is there, I think that they're in play in those first three rounds too. So I think wide receiver, cornerback, and then, you know, either offensive or defensive line, I wouldn't be shocked if that's how the first three picks panned out. Because you look at this roster, you're still feeling pretty good about safety. If some safety fell down the board drastically, maybe you're tempted, because you can do different personnel packages, and then that could be the heir apparent for Hyde or Poyer in a few years. But you still feel really good about that pairing. You still have a lot of money invested at linebacker. I've spoken to why I'm not big on an edge rusher early in this draft, just because it takes time for those guys to develop. And the Bills, even though I think the Super Bowl window is open for a long period of time, you want to win a Super Bowl this upcoming season. So I'd prefer them going after a proven entity there. Running back, there's no value in taking a running back in the first few rounds. There's no quarterback that you're taking in the first few rounds. So that's why I think you can kind of narrow it down to those. It's technically four areas. It's defensive line, offensive line, cornerback, and wide receiver. But I think that's all in play for them early in this draft class. And then in terms of other positions, it's going to sound weird, but this is a deep punter draft, as weird as that sounds.
And that's a position of need right now.
It is. You can free up a couple million letting Matt Hawk go, and I think that's going to end up happening. And you know, Matt Ariza, he's as odd as that sounds, he's a draft crush of mine. The guy booms the ball 70, 75 yards and makes it look easy. Now, does he have the directional punting that Buffalo might be looking for? Can he hold? We don't know that in terms of the holding ability. That's the one reason that I think Hawk stayed all season with this team, is he was a very good holder for Tyler Bass. But you can't just keep him around for that reason and that reason only. He holds the ball a little bit too long on his punts. He was not an effective punter in general, so they need to move on there. And if it's not him, there's a Penn State punter. There's, I want to say, an Ohio State punter. There's a few. Matt Ariza is actually, I've seen him mocked in the third and fourth round. I'm not sure I feel comfortable going that high on him. But if there was a team that did it, it would be a team that maybe doesn't have a lot of holes on their roster, and that would be the Bills. So, I think for the casual fan, you'd be sitting there saying, what is this team doing drafting a punter either late on day two or early on day three? But at the same time, if you can get someone that flips the field when the Bills do punt, and I know it's seldom, they're not a team that's out there a lot punting, it would help this team more than I think the casual fan would realize.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that the thing you mentioned there about how the fact that it's the Bills trying to win the Super Bowl this year, not a huge amount of holes in this roster, do you think that kind of therefore removes there being any chance that they trade out of the first round to try and get further picks later on in the draft? It seems we're not signing nine players from what I can see. We don't have the roster holes for it. So do you think we're absolutely taking a player with that first round pick?
No, not necessarily. And the reason is, and I do feel like it's been said for the last three or four draft classes, but, you know, you have the draft analysts that come out and say from 15 to 75, you're not going to find a major drop off in talent. Now, if you're trading out of round one and you're getting some day two picks, you're getting a day two pick next year or a high pick next year, then I could see the Bills trading out of that, because there's talented players in day two of this draft. I don't think they're just looking to trade down, though. It would have to be the right deal because, like you said, we saw, and it wasn't day two players, it wasn't early draft picks, but we saw the Bills lose some of their draft picks this year that they took on day three because the Bills thought maybe we could sneak them onto the practice squad, and it worked initially to a certain extent, but then they were poached in season by other teams that weren't as talented, that were looking for options in terms of, well, maybe this guy can be a starter for this team. So the Bills can't get cute with it. I think that, if anything, they're going to try to package some of those day three picks and try to maybe move up a little bit here and there late or early on day three to get the right pieces. Yeah. Because, like you said, you know, the amount of picks that the Bills have, all those players are not going to make this team if they were to actually sit there and draft them all.
So trade up.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was going to ask the same question, Matt. Like, what's the possibility that they trade up in the draft? Because I always remember Brandon Mee, whenever he talks about the draft, he always says best player available. He doesn't go for the position of need. So even though I think we've identified the places where they improve, if there's a big splash draft player that he's got his eye on, I think they consider moving up if there's a particular player. How far could they move up, and who might they have their eye on, perhaps to go into the, I don't know, top 20?
Yeah. I mean, they're currently at 25. You know, they're in the mid 20s in the first round. So you could package some picks and move up, you know, into the teens. I think if you package some day two picks, or if you move a 2023 day two pick, I don't think they're going to be looking to move a 2023 first round pick by any stretch of the imagination, because you'd have to be moving up significantly high if you're going to package another first round. But if there's the right player for them, and again, there's not one player in my mind where I say, oh yeah, you know, if they can get this guy, they're going to do it. But maybe they fell in love with Jordan Davis. Maybe they thought all along Jordan Davis is a three down defensive tackle. He just didn't have the opportunity, because at Georgia, you know, half of those players are 4- and 5-star recruits. Half of those players tested off the charts at the combine. There's a reason why they were so stacked. There's a reason why maybe he was only out there for 40% of the snaps, or whatever the case may be. So maybe that's a guy that they love, and they say he helps with the run defense. We think there's a lot more there for him as a pass rusher. And not only does he help in terms of the run, he frees things up for our linebackers. And I can't stress how important that is to let a guy like Tremaine Edmonds or Matt Milano be able to run free when you know it's a run play and you have a guy that's clogging up and taking on two blockers consistently. A Devontae, you know, a Wyatt. I've seen some draft experts say that he can play one tech and three tech. I think he's more of a natural three technique. And then you're cutting into Ed Oliver's snaps, which it's not the worst thing. The Bills like having versatility on the line, but are you trading up for that? I'm not sure. I'm not so sure on that. If a Wyatt fell into their laps, then yeah, by all means, strengthen the line, strengthen that position, have two guys that can stay fresh throughout a game. But, you know, if a Jordan Davis or there's another prospect that they love, even an offensive lineman that they love is sitting there, then yeah, maybe they do package up and move into the teens. Because again, like you guys said, how many picks can this team realistically have on their roster that make this roster? I don't think there's a ton of spots. There might be more this year because of their cap, you know, their financial situation, how many players are going to get in free agency. And also the fact that, something else you guys mentioned, if you want to get a compensatory pick for Mitch Trubisky, you can't go out there and sign every other free agent available. You have to have a net loss, so to speak, in terms of the players you sign versus the players that leave. And a Trubisky is going to get you on the radar for a third round pick. You might get a Harrison Phillips, depending on how much money he gets. Maybe he helps you get a day three compensatory pick. It's all interesting. Brandon Bean's never done that before, but the Bills are at that point in time now where cap space, talent level, they might be able to actually pull it off this year and then get those picks in 2023.
Yeah. So one last question before we wrap up. It's more of a fun question. It's something that probably Robin and Mark may have seen in our group chats. They've asked, and it's a fun one. Who are the top three Bills players for you that you would love to have a cuddle with?
Have a what with? I'm sorry.
Have a cuddle. Have a hug from. Which three?
Who looks like a cuddler on the team? We're very British here.
All right. I was going to say, I don't know if I want to cuddle any of them. I think, you know, the big spoon, little spoon. But a hug, you know, I'm trying to think now. This is, yeah, on the spot here. I've always been a big fan, personality-wise, of Tre'Davious White. I think that he's a nice, fun guy, someone that I think anyone could get along with well. So I'll put him on the list. Everyone loves Josh Allen, so why not throw Josh Allen on that list? And then, you know, I won't go player. I'll go Brandon Bean. Maybe I can, maybe he has some intel in his coat pocket and I can kind of pick that up.
That's a great idea.
Call all the picks ahead of time and look really smart in this, in a month or so, a month and a half.
That's awesome. I mean, Ryan, thank you very much for coming on the show. Obviously, most people know where to find you. Just tell us where they can find you on social and obviously your podcast as well with the ever so great Matt Perino.
Yeah, first and foremost, thanks for having me on, guys. I had a great time. You can find Shout Buffalo Football Podcast on any major podcast platform. We generally go live on Wednesday nights, though, so you can actually watch live. We do a video platform in addition to the traditional podcast. You can watch live on YouTube, on Facebook, or on Twitter. We share the links out on all three platforms there. And then in terms of our work, you can follow us on nyup.com or newyorkupstate.com and syracuse.com.
Cool. So that's it for this show. Obviously, keep following, liking, and subscribing. Follow Ryan, follow Robin, follow Mark, follow myself, follow the UK Bills. And for Robin, Mark, and Ryan, it's Matt saying good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You know anything about work?
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.